Tiburon, population 6502, home of Wilfred Marchant. "Who's Wilfred Marchant?" I said, desperate to break the silence and get things back to normal. "You mean you've never heard of Wilfred Marchant?" he said. "She's only a world-famous writer who wrote 3 Pulitzer Prize books about the deciduous trees of South Carolina." I giggled. They didn't win any Pulitzer Prizes. "You better shut your mouth, because in Tiburon, Wilfred Marchant's books are way up there with the Bible. We have an official Wilfred Marchant Day every year, and the schools hold tree planting ceremonies. She always comes wearing a big straw hat and carrying a basket of rose petals, which she tosses to the children." "She does not," I said. "Oh, yes, Miss Willie is very weird." "Deciduous trees are an interesting topic, I guess, but I myself would rather write about people." "Oh, that's right, I forgot," he said. "You're planning on being a writer, you and Miss Willie."
"You act like you don't believe I can do it."
"I didn't say that."
"You implied it."
"What are you talking about? I did not."
I turned to concentrate on things beyond the window. The Masonic Lodge, hot buy used cars, the Firestone Tire Store. Zack braked at a stop sign next to the Dixie Cafe, which sat practically in the front yard of the Tri-County Livestock Company, and for some reason this made me furious. What I wanted to know was how people ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner with the smell of cows, and worse, overwhelming their nose buds. I wanted to scream out the window, "Eat your damn breakfast grits somewhere else, why don't you? There's cow shit in the air!" The way people live their lives, settling for grits and cow shit, made me sick. My eyes stung all around the sockets. Zack crossed the intersection. I could feel his eyes bore into the back of my head.
"You mad at me?" he said.
I meant to say, "Yes, I most certainly am, because you think I'll never amount to anything." But what came out of my mouth was something else, and it was embarrassingly stupid. "I will never throw rose petals to anybody," I said. And then I broke down, the kind of crying where you're sucking air and making heaving sounds like a person drowning. Zack pulled over on the side of the road, saying, "Holy moly, what's the matter?" He wrapped one arm around me and pulled me across the seat to him. I'd thought the whole thing was about my lost future, the one Mrs. Henry encouraged me to believe in by plying me with books and summer reading lists and big talk about scholarships to Columbia College. But sitting there close to Zack, I knew I was crying because he had that one side dimple I loved. Because every time I looked at him, I got a hot, funny feeling that circulated from my waist to my kneecaps. Because I'd been going along being my normal girl self, and the next thing I knew, I'd passed through a membrane into a place of desperation. I was crying, I realized, for Zack. I laid my head on his shoulder and wondered how he could stand me. In one short morning, I had exhibited insane laughter, hidden lust, pissy behavior, self-pity, and hysterical crying. If I'd been trying to show him my worst sides, I could not have done a better job than this. He gave me a squeeze and spoke into my hair. "It's gonna be all right. You're gonna be a fine writer one day." I saw him glance behind us, then across the road. "Now, you go back over to your side of the truck and wipe your face," he said, and handed me a floor rag that smelled like gasoline. When we got to the honey house, it was deserted except for Rosaline, who was gathering up her clothes so she could move up to May's room. I'd been gone 2 slim hours, and our whole living arrangement had been overturned. "How come you get to sleep over there?" I asked her.
"'Cause May gets scared at night by herself."
Rosaline was going to sleep in the extra twin bed, get the bottom drawer of May's dresser for her stuff, and have the bathroom at her fingertips.
"I can't believe you're leaving me over here by myself," I cried.
Zack grabbed the hand truck and wheeled it out as fast as he could start unloading the supers from the honey wagon. I think he'd had enough female emotion for the time being.
"I'm not leaving you, I'm getting a mattress," she said,
and dropped her toothbrush and the red rose snuff into her pocket.